Well, good afternoon. My name is Thomas Provencal. I'm an American. I'm living in Hong Kong in Berlin. I came here from Berlin. And the title of my talk is Molecular Dynamics by X-ray. This touches on the previous talk, as I alluded to earlier. Chemical reactions are strongly affected by the positions of the atoms, and this is usually done by vibrations, molecular vibrations. Now, recently, Ricks, I don't know if you people know, again, I'm walking into a conference, I'm not sure all of you have the same background, but what Ricks does, it provides vibrational control in photochemical reactions. If you have a complex molecule, they excite it in a certain direction, and you can control the chemical reaction. And the reference here is the one I picked up on, but this goes back about a decade. It's not a new subject. Now, what Rick shows was X-rays may be tuned to stretching while another tuning excites the bending mode. So by putting external X-rays into a molecule, a complex molecule, you can excite these modes. Now, the theme of that, I didn't do that. I picked up on this. And I'm going to make the argument that Ricks shows X-ray pulse interaction with molecules provides control of the vibration modes of atoms. But Ricks also provides the argument with this. The question I'm going to raise is, are X-rays naturally created in atoms, thereby controlling ordinary chemical reactions? By ordinary, I mean no external X-ray. This is the question I'm posing. You can call it a hypothesis. Proposal: X-rays are created in ordinary reactions using heat from the thermal surroundings by what I call simple QED. You need thermal energy somewhere. And assumes QM governs the atomic heating and not classical physics. And QM here stands for quantum mechanics. And by quantum mechanics, heating an atom does not increase the temperature, as the electromagnetic confinement with an atom having high surface to volume ratios, you know this, it will require the atomic heat capacity to vanish. So given this argument, which I'm going to defend shortly, what I'm arguing is that if heat goes into an atom, it doesn't increase the temperature. But what it will do is increase the electronic energy. And I look here to defend that. I'm going to consider the Planck law at 300 degrees Kelvin. Now here you see it, and you all know this, but on the order, I have Planck energy in electron volts. You can think of this as KT energy. Okay? On the abscissa, confinement wavelength in microns, and on the right you see the KT energy of the atom at room temperature. Now this horizontal line going all the way across is classical physics. No matter how small the structure is, no matter what the confinement is, the atom is always assumed to have KT energy. However, quantum mechanics differs. This is the Planck law. And if you plot it out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get the yellow curve. And you can see down here at about 100 microns or so, quantum mechanics and classical physics give about the same KT energy. But below that, the problem. So under electromagnetic confinement, wavelengths less than 0.1 microns or 100 nanometers, Quantum mechanics requires atoms and molecules to have energy heat effect. This is an individual atom or molecule. It doesn't matter if they're that small. Now, classical physics, molecular dynamics, which I call MD, and by the Planck law, the MD simulations of the bulk, of the bulk material, you do this with periodic boundary conditions on a small microscopic volume, you probably know this, and they assume that the atoms have heat capacity. In effect, they're assuming you're out there beyond 100 microns. And in the macroscopic bulk, of course, all atoms do have heat capacity, so there's nothing wrong. But the MD programs, for example, A and T here is L and Tilsley, are valid for both PVC simulations, but invalid for discrete molecules. Discrete molecules as the heat capacity vanishes. Now, what comes up right away is the equipartition theorem. Those of you who have done MD know that MD, or statistical mechanics, is a variant of classical physics, and it assumes a molecule increases the thermal energy of constituent atoms, and that's converted to kinetic energy by the equipartition theorem. That, in turn, gives you the vibrational motion of atoms. Okay. And by quantum mechanics, the equipartition theorem for molecules having kinetic energy, your average Ke, 3 halves nkt, would be invalid. But it's always used. The equipartition theorem is used in all molecular dynamics since around the 1950s. The problem is the temperature of the atom cannot change. This follows by quantum mechanics. Now, I come to the topic of standing core electrons, right? You pick up off the grid, but simple QED is applied to an atom by standing waves of core electrons in a circular ring. I use Bergman here. He has a new approach on the electron. And this is Bohr's picture of the electron in 1924. He also had a wave, as you can see here, but he assumed the electron is a point charge. In my work, I can't take a point charge, and I'll show you later. In Bergman's approach, the standing electron is given here. Now, X-rays from atoms. Since quantum mechanics, I didn't do this right either. Oh well. Since quantum mechanics precludes atoms from temperature changes, heat flow into the atom is conserved by increasing the core electron energy. This is what I'm arguing. You may disagree, but that's what I'm assuming. And that means the heat into the atom has a spherical cavity of electron radius r. Okay, the point charge that Bohr had, I cannot use, right? So I take Bergman, and you get this relationship in the thermal bath, and from that you can compute the time to create a single X-ray photon. And for a bath of water, 300 degrees Kelvin, typical of atoms in the human body at 40 degrees C. This is the conductivity of water. And if you plot it out, this is what you get. Here's the X-ray energy here in KeV. On the right, you see the time to fill that K edge is shown here. This is in nanoseconds, and the point I'm talking about here is shown here. So it's around 450 picometers, and you can see you can produce psalmist from. And for nitrogen, the 434, 469 picometers. This time is 62 feet per second. It's quite short. I just used water. Again, the. And then I considered nitrogen in the stretch mode, which is the stretch mode, and you can see that here. And I modeled this with the bead spring, as you can see here, and experimental resonance, 7 times 10 to the 13. And quantum mechanics precludes atoms from the temperature changes, and therefore the way you excite the atoms into molecules is by X-ray. And you specify the velocity or the momentum of the atoms. You do not specify temperature, all right? I did 3 solutions, inelastic energy, equipartition theorem, momentum. This is the inelastic energy solution. The way they do this in Ricks, they take a fraction eta of the K edge energy, and they assume that's what drives the molecular vibrations. And if you take this energy to around 10 MeV, you get around 371 meters per second. This is the momentum. And what I did here, I specified the initial velocity. Now, I've taken a simple problem here because I want to know what the answer is. And in general, you get all this. You can excite anything with Ricks. And that indirectly is saying maybe ordinary chemical reactions are doing this too. And again, I'm going to leave that hanging here. I can't prove that at this point. This is the inelastic energy solution. Fluctuation plus minus 1 picometer. Velocity is the 371 again. These are correct solutions. And for equipartition, if you go through that and use a factor to scale the velocities every iteration, this is what you do, and you get incorrect results. Here's the temperatures. Before I had 310, this is to get 500K here for temperatures, which you know is wrong. Amplitude, 40 picometers instead of 1, and the velocity is 740 instead of 371. You can see these are basically garbage. So the solutions are incorrect. And for momentum, I went through this, and given I find the force on each atom, it's a momentum P of the X-ray, which is H over lambda, divided by the time step. And when you do that and update it every iteration, which you can easily do, you get this. And these are also correct values. The different numbers because the inelastic energy that I put in was not correct. In a summary, atoms in a nitrogen molecule continually absorb heat from the surroundings and X-rays from other atoms. By quantum mechanics, the heat cue into the atom may only be conserved by increasing the core electron energy up to the K edge for nitrogen, in my case. And over less than 70 picoseconds, the heat accumulates, again, because the temperature cannot increase. Okay, that's the argument. And this will excite the vibrational state. And this process is forever continuous. It's always going on. And the conclusion, MD under PVC is valid by quantum mechanics. MD for discrete molecules by PVC is invalid, but may be modified to be consistent with quantum mechanics. In the MD solution, inelastic energy, this requires assumptions of the inelastic fractions, which are not known. Decompartition gives erroneous results. And momentum only requires the K edge of the atom, and it's easily included every iteration. If you go to Ellen and Tulsa, you can put it in very easily, every iteration. Well, that's all I have. This is my homepage. You can look on it. I have this presentation up on the web. You can look at it later. So, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The fellow that was here before has left, sir. You all saw what he had. He had the classical energy equation, rho c dt dt, and if you solve for dt dt, you have to divide by c. Heat capacity, if that vanishes, you have a problem. And I'm arguing that quantum mechanics doesn't. If you follow it for an atom, now, a group of atoms starts to become a macroscopic object, you're back to classical physics again. But for the atom itself, there cannot be any temperature change. On that basis, I really think that the atoms are always producing X-rays. And for gold atoms in particular, they know with lasers, when they hit them with high amounts of energy and they basically knock the atoms apart, they see X-rays. You've got to get them free. If they're free, they're not going to have any heat effect. If they're part of a solid object, they will. I don't know if that answers the previous question or not. And you have any? Okay.
Thank you.